I also would like to announce just briefly that the French circular letter will be printed in the coming week. Sadly enough, we were not able to prepare it for these meetings. Please, all who would like to receive it, give your addresses to our sister Janina. And Brother Eric Schmidt, he already said how it should be in the house of God, in the whole mission center. May God give grace to it. In the last circular letter, I expressed the prayer, Beloved Lord and Savior, remember the covenant which you made with us. Remember the blood which you shed for us. Remember the promises which you have given us. Remember the fulfillment so that we live spiritually. Then I would like, just briefly, before some brothers are coming for prayer, I would like to give you greetings from Brother Lotika from South Africa, from Brother Lopendo from Cape Town, then from our brethren from Madagascar. They are sending special greetings to you. Then we have greetings from Brother Davi from Palermo. Greetings from Wisław Gajewski. I'm very happy about this, that our brother is sending greetings to us. 4 weeks ago he was here. He of course stays in the Masures, eastern Germany. Then we have greetings from Brother Genton. We have greetings. Yes, one moment. Greetings from Paolo Sandrini. I don't know exactly where this is now. From Moses Young, we have greetings. Then greetings from Balemba Barupti. Yes, greetings and again greetings. Greetings from Family Boss, whoever that might be. Greetings from Steve Banza from the Congo. Greetings from Mohinido, from the Chad. May God bless our brother. Then we have special greetings from Claudio Miskis. Our brethren, they are of course in the moment in Sao Paulo, about 10,000 kilometers away from here. Yesterday, they were listening in and they were rejoicing a lot together with Daddy and Mama Miskis. They are sending greetings to us. It's really an indescribable grace of God that we can be under the sound of the Word in such a way this morning, in all reverence before God, in reverence before His holy Word to be assembled. And we thank the Lord for this opportunity which we have. This wonderful, revealed word, holy word, to carry it into all the world. May all be blessed today. unto the ends of the earth, from the rising unto the going down of the sun, from the east to the west, from the south to the north. May all be blessed in the name of the Lord. Also we, who we are gathered here under the sound of the word, from near and far, we have come here. May it be worth it. May it be worthwhile to be under the sound, to be gathered under the sound of the word. Last night was worthwhile. I think it was worthwhile for all of us. Not only for those who came to the front, but for all of us who we are going with all our hearts, rejoicing with about what the Lord is doing. Today, we of course heard the Psalm of the Grace and Mercy. And about this, we want to also speak. Before we do this, I was asked by our beloved brother, why, among all the quotes, among all the publications, why didn't I show my testimony, which was published 1963, here in our country, in Hamburg? It was published when I made my visit at Brother Branham with a photograph on the first page. But I was just thinking by myself, I don't need to speak about this. God, in the course of all these years, He has blessed His people. He has blessed His word. He has called out from all peoples and tongues. And this was really never before like this until now. Everything is grace. The grace reigns over judgment. And it is written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. The law was given through Moses, but the grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And we are just happy about grace and truth. We are rejoicing that the blood of the Lamb is still on the mercy seat, that we may still come, laying our lives and consecrate our lives before the Lord, and are really preparing unto the very near return of our Lord. All this has to be included into the proclamation which God has entrusted to us. We all know Brother Branham was really sent by God to restore all things into its original condition. But let me firstly read the verses of the grace and mercy. Paul, every letter, every epistle, he started with the term grace. And he also ended it. The grace he put at the first place. And before we read all the other places, just briefly now, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. By whom we have received grace and apostleship to work obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. We received grace, and the same grace which we received as the preachers of the word, all have received, who believe and who received the preached word in them, and who believe the preaching, as Paul has written in Romans chapter 11, referring to Isaiah 53, who has believed our report? In 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, in verse 3, we read, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the end of this epistle. All these chapters which speak and deal with the grace, and then right at the end, the wonderful words are written in verse 23, 1 Corinthians 16, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And we just turn one page and read in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1, in verse 2, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the end of these chapters which Paul has written, to the last verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. We turn just one page, Galatians 1, verse 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Let us go again to the last chapter. And it's always the grace. Galatians 6, verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Dear brethren, let us again go one step further to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where grace is, there is peace. Where grace is forgiveness. Where grace is reconciliation. Where grace is, there the people are helped. Let us go again to the end of Ephesians. And again in the last chapter, in the last verse, it says, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, just faithful unto the end, because we found grace in the sight of God. Philippians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace, time and again the grace, and again the grace. And again, at the end, in the last verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. May God give us grace every day, every hour, unto the end, and that we might redeem the time of grace, because it is coming to its end. Colossians chapter 1, last part of verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again and again, grace. Also here, in the last verse, in Colossians chapter 4, it says, grace be with you. And again, in the first verse, in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, second part of verse 1, in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you. Today, we want to show you what it means to have found grace in the sight of God. We could read all the other chapters. Here, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, last verse. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And if the grace is with us, then the Lord shows us His ways. Then He speaks with us. And then we recognize His everlasting plan of salvation. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what then follows is just so powerful and again powerful. What God has given us by His grace. How should He not give to us everything with Him? Every beginning, every end of the epistles has the seal of the grace of God. Here, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 3, verse 18. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Again, in the next chapter, in the verse 2, in 1 Timothy, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Just grace, grace, and again grace. That we were saved. It's grace. That we could recognize the time in which we are living. It's grace. According to the scripture, whom I have mercy on, I have mercy. Let us read from Exodus, chapter 33. Exodus 33. Exodus chapter 33. Man could read here verse 11 already. But let me start with verse 13. Exodus 33 from verse 13. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. Just say amen. If we have found grace in the sight of God, then, beloved Lord, show us thy plans, thy ways. Last night, we read, when a man dies, then his plans are finished. And we also emphasized, when our Lord died, then the plan of God came into force. And the counsel of our God found fulfillment. And here we read this prayer of Moses. Moses was not happy to just hear the words of God. You have found grace in my sight. This was not enough for him. He said, if I have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy plans. And this with that I may know that I have found grace in thy sight. Then comes the part of the people which was led out. And consider that this nation is thy people. It's not my church or a church of any man. Our Lord and Redeemer, he purchased his church and he builds his church. And we may be part of it. And his plans, he only reveals to his people. If you read in the prophet Amos, God does nothing unless he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Then we of course understand that God has a plan of salvation. Then we understand that God has a divine order in his plan of salvation by grace. Let us read on, verse 14. And the Lord answered, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. This is right. And also today we say, if you are not going with us, Lord, then we don't walk forward at all. We don't walk one step without you, only with you, and again, only together with you. Then, verse 15, and he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Is it different today? Can we make one step without that God is with us? Without that he gives us instructions? We are trusting him. And we believe that he will lead us in a wonderful way, because we believe the promises which he has given us. In the next verse, verse 16,
woran soll man denn sonst erkennen,
for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Firstly, Moses prayed for himself, that I have found grace in thy sight. And then the people are coming, that the people might recognize that they have found grace in thy sight. And then it continues, is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth.
Vor allen Gemeinden auf der ganzen Erde
What is the difference between the church and all the denominations on this earth? By this, that the presence of the Lord is directly with us, and that He reveals His word and will to us. Then, verse 17, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name.
Dann bat Mose, dass die Herrlichkeit Gottes an ihm vorüberzieht.
Then Moses asked that the glory of the Lord might pass him. Verse 18, 19, and 20. And then verse 21.
Doch der Herr fuhr fort.
And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock.
Und Mose stellte sich in die Höhle.
And Moses was in the cleft of the rock.
Über dem Felsen und über Mose.
And the hand of the Lord was upon this cleft and about.
So steht's in Vers
and when the Lord passed by, that's how it is written in verse 23.
Ich dann meine rechte
and I will take away mine hand. And thou shalt see my back parts. But my face shall not be seen. In the Old Testament, God turned his back to the people. In the New Testament, he turned his face towards us. And he who reads 1 Corinthians 10 can do it. The rock which Moses has smitten, the rock which was accompanying the people of Israel, was Christ. And if we then go to the other prophetic scriptures, then we can just cry out, How wonderful are your thoughts, O God! How wonderful is the plan of salvation, which was already foreshadowed in the Old Testament. And now we are coming to the New Testament. To the New Testament. To understand that the Lord has a way with His church. Remember the sentence, if I and the people have found grace in thy sight, then let me know thy ways. Let us know thy ways. Now the places in the Old Testament, Isaiah 44, verse 26, Isaiah 44, verse 26, that confirmeth the word of his servant and performeth the counsel of his messengers. With this we go to Jeremiah 31 to show us that God already in the Old Testament was foreshadowing, announcing the plan of salvation in advance, and by certain events He has also already given. Jeremiah 31, and here we read verse 21. Set thee up waymarks, make thee high heaps, set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. Set thee up waymarks, signposts. Recently, we also spoke about this. We don't remain standing at the signpost, but we are walking on towards the goal, the destination. But the signposts are necessary. These signposts we need. Otherwise, we don't have any orientation. And men of God are messengers on the walls of Zion, watching for the people of God and passing on the instructions to the people of God. Then we have in Ezekiel 36 also the wonderful word in Ezekiel 36 from verse 24, also a parallel to the calling out of all those who are now scattered in various denominations. Ezekiel 36 from verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. God the Lord said, I will. This is God's plan, God's purpose in the end time to lead His people out, to gather His people from all countries and to bring them into their land. And then it happens, what is written in verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. We all know the falling away, the unfaithfulness in the people of Israel was therein that they followed other gods, that they served them. This was the falling away and an insult to God. In the Old Testament, we said it many times, in the Old Testament, it says 6,653 times, it says in the singular, Elohim, Yahweh, God the Lord, the only God who is from eternity to eternity, not two, not three. By the way, when this falling away in Christianity took its course, that came to all the councils, to all what was decided there. I just read it recently again. At the Council of Nicaea, only 318 persons voted for the Trinity dogma. And only in the year 386, the Holy Ghost was declared the third person. But the Holy Scripture is not explained so late. God is God from the very beginning. He has revealed Himself. He doesn't need any man who forms Him, who explains Him. God reveals Himself as He wishes in various ways, as Creator, Redeemer, King, all in all. So, we believe at this place in the one God which there was and who will ever exist throughout all eternity. We believe that He revealed Himself to us as the Father in the Son to give us the adoption as sons and daughters. To give us the adoption as sons. And therefore the Redeemer could say, I ascend to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God. John 20, verse 17. We believe every verse. We believe every word as it is written. Also, this is grace. Also, this is grace, that we not a single word, that we don't have to twist one single word, but that we just believe it with all our hearts. If it is written, Son of Man, then we believe it. If it says, Son of God, then we also believe it. If it is written, Son of David, we believe it. If it says, Son of Abraham, then we also believe it. If it's written, Lamb of God, we believe it. If it's written, Advocate, we also believe it. If it's written Mediator, then we also believe it. We believe absolutely every word of God as it is written. And also this is grace. This we have to and may emphasize time and again. I want to say it honestly. I have no time for any discussion. Neither about this or that subject. Whom God does not give clarity, him will not help any discussion at all. But let us come now to the special things, namely Genesis 18, when the Lord appeared, when the Lord gave to Abraham the first promise, and when he made the covenant with him. It was about one very important thing. Genesis 18, from verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. And now it comes. For I know him. For I ordained him. I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him, which is promised of him. Here we have the first condition, that they walk on the way of the Lord, the whole way of the Lord, to keep it. That means this way has a description, that they just follow and obey everything, whatever has to be on this way, whatever comes along on the way, all the trials and problems, that they just keep it, that they just obey it, so that God can fulfill what he promised. Here we are at a very important point. And please, don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. God was merciful to us. He has helped us up to this moment. And also the last things, he will help us, so that we really come into the obedience of faith, into agreement with God and his word. That we are not walking next to the way, but that we are really walking on the way of the Lord, so that he can fulfill all the promises which he has given us by his grace. Then we have in Exodus chapter 13, Exodus chapter 13, here the man of God speaks about what has to take place. Exodus 13, verse 21 and 22. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. Also here we can say, the same Lord, the same God has revealed himself in our time in the same pillar of the cloud and in the same pillar of fire to show us the way which we have to walk now. Coming out from all disobedience, coming out from all own ways, to really walk in the full and perfect obedience on this narrow way of God. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 8, we are once again taught and informed about what the Lord wants to give us along the way. Deuteronomy chapter 8, here we read verse 6. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways and to fear him. Brothers and sisters, why did God put so much emphasis and weight on the church, the bride church, to take her out from all own directions and from all own ways, and to place them onto the way of salvation, onto the narrow way which the Lord has prepared for us by his grace? Because the end must be as the beginning was. Before the rapture, it has to take place that the bride becomes a part of the bridegroom, as it was already in the Garden of Eden, that the Lord took Eve out of Adam and brought her to him, and he cried out, "This is her, flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. She shall be called Eve, because she was taken out from a man." You all know, Brother Branham, sometimes he spoke seriously to the sisters. He showed the place to the sisters in a very strong way. But if we listen closely, then we find out the following. The woman is neither a doormat nor is she Lord. She stands directly next to the husband on the same step, with the difference that the man is the head, as Christ is the head of the husband, and as God is the head of Christ. So every woman, and here we come to a very important point, not only in the church. If we are in the church, then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, and he writes in Timothy how the women have to behave themselves. And then it happens that it also happens. And if they come at home, then everything else happens. Then the divine order seems to be no more valid. What we need today, I'm not a moral preacher. I'm more a teacher than a preacher. But this we need today, that we don't make any difference anymore between church and home, between the life with God and one's own life, but that the divine order is with us wherever we are. Yes. And here we have arrived at the point, which we'll not spend time with it much, but we are at Ephesians chapter 5. As the church is submitting to Christ, so the wives should be submissive to the husbands in all manner, in all ways. I say it once again, I'm not a moral preacher. Brother Branham spoke enough about it. If we all take it to heart, then we have the teaching as it was never on the earth before. But one thing we really have to pay attention to, also this we cannot do it by force. It must come from the inside. It must be worked by God himself. Also the husband cannot shake the woman, the wife, and say, listen, I am your head. No, it's impossible. The husband must live it out, that he is the head, so that his wife can respect him as the head. Everything must come back into the divine order. Also to this, we need grace. Just grace. That we have an inner agreement to every word of God. Then, in Joshua, we have a wonderful word in Joshua chapter 3, where the church has taken her stand, taking the Ark of the Covenant. Joshua chapter 3 from verse 3. And they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, about 1,000 meters. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way, that ye may know the way by which we must go. For ye have not passed this way before. Also all of us, we have to just in reverence, we have to keep the distance. And I'm honest now, if the Ark of the Covenant would be exactly before us, then I wouldn't know how things would go on there. But if it's in a nice distance, then I have a nice clear view how the way goes. Then I don't just see before my nose, but I see in front of me, there the Ark is carried, I just have to follow, however the way might be. This is the lesson which God wants to teach us here. You never passed this way before. The Ark of the Covenant goes before you. The revealed word is in the Ark of the Covenant. Keep the right distance in reverence so that you might know how the way goes on. Just so wonderful. Then in Judges chapter 2, also here, we have the instruction in the Old Testament of what had to be done to have reverence before the Ark of the Covenant. Not everyone was allowed to do what he liked. Not one could walk left and right. No, there was a divine order connected with it. Also today, nobody can walk left and right, passing by the Ark, bypassing the Word. No, receiving with respect what God revealed and then following the Lord. Here in Judges, we read in chapter 2, Judges, chapter 2, verse 17, and yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of the Lord. But they did not so. Turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in obedience, whoring after other gods. Let us say it once again. In this time, the Church of Jesus Christ is as the only one on earth, which does not divide God into three equal persons, but which just believes, as the Scripture says, that God revealed Himself in heaven as Father, on earth in His only begotten Son, and in the Church by the Holy Spirit. God above us, God with us, and God in us. Three personal manifestations of God to carry out His own plan of salvation. And as we said before, to give us the adoption as sons. When He became man, and this one just has to take heed to now, not a son became a son, no, but the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then came the promise which was given to Mary. And by faith she received and said, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. And the one born of you shall be called the Son of God. And also this is very important. Dear brothers and sisters, Mary was not the mother of God. Those, I've heard it in Lima, Peru, on that Sunday morning, very early in the morning, this Catholic service. Actually, I wanted to watch the news on CNN, and behold, there was a Catholic service going on. Probably I've seen it for the first time in my life, in all the details. I've seen it. Everything was there. The altar was there. The priest was there. The wafer was there, the round wafer. And who else was there? Women dressed in a uniform. Nice scarf, nice uniform. Next to it was the man with the guitar playing in the Catholic Church, Lima, Peru. Now, today, 14, 2 weeks ago, I've seen it. And then time and again, The priest was saying, Sancta Maria, Madre de Dios, Holy Mary, Mother of God. There's not one single scripture where it would be written, God the Son. Not a single scripture in all of the Bible, not one. There's not one single scripture in the Bible where would be written God the Holy Ghost, not one, not one. Of God the Father, we have 36 places, one after the other. And if we look it up properly, what a honor is to me that the mother of my Lord comes to me. The mother of my Lord is coming to me. And here, we are at this very important point. If the Bible says Lord, then it says Lord. If it says God, then it means God. If it says God the Lord, then it means the Lord God. We cannot go into detail, but I'm just honest. I'm very happy about this, that God has counted me worthy, me, the least among all, that I not only heard the voice of the Lord, but one time on the 7th of June, 1979, I heard the voice of God. And the difference is just therein that the Lord speaks with power, with might, with a commanding voice, but there's no echo in the voice. In the voice of God, I almost want to say an unbearable echo, a thundering echo, as one probably doesn't hardly hears it on this earth. Very hardly one can hear it. I think I heard it once similar in Sigriswil in Switzerland. I heard something similar where the echo of the mountains was giving the voice of God such with a sound, with a clear sound, thundering sound. It goes through all your bones. I just say this out of the following reason. If, for instance, our Lord prayed and the voice of God sounded forth, then the ones said it thundered, and the others, they said an angel spoke with him. The Lord was here, and the voice of God sounded. I don't want to go into details now, but for me, it's just so important. It's so precious how God's word was rightly divided. And as we can bring everything onto its right place, where we're not stumbling at any place, but where we really stepped upon revelation ground, and the whole word was revealed to us. One even has to pay attention to where it says only Son. For instance, whom the Son makes free. Why doesn't it say the Son of God? Why? Why doesn't say the adding Son of Man? Why does it say only whom the Son makes free? Why is it written in 1 Corinthians 15, 28? Why is it not written Son of God? But the Son will submit, and then will God be all in all. In what kind of connection is he Son of God? In what kind of connection is he Son of Man? In what kind of connection is he Son of David, Son of Abraham? Dear brothers and sisters, the divine plan of salvation has a divine order, and everything is embedded in this plan of salvation. And I tell you the truth, there was never a time period on this earth before where we are so where we have such an insight into the plan of salvation of our God by revelation. This is the time. And to be honest, when we read Daniel 12, then it's of course not enough to just read that the revelation will be closed and sealed until the end. We just see what is happening. Many will be separated. Many will be purified and cleansed. The revelation which God has given us, also by the opening of the seven seals. And this brother now, who wrote about it, that the seven seals cannot be opened because the church goes up in Revelation 4, he should actually be ashamed of himself. Because why? It was about that the seven seals are opened, that we see the four horse riders, which are running parallel to the church ages in their four stages. Everything what God revealed to us has to be revealed to. We don't need anyone who is very clever. We just need revelation. People who are open before God. People who are taught by God and not who are teaching God. One could go here into many details. What we really need is the humbleness to get the access to our God. There are actually many scriptures on my heart now. Surely, slowly but surely, we will come to its end now. Let us go to Isaiah 35. We have the wonderful words. Isaiah 35. Here we read from verse 8. Isaiah 35, from verse 8. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men. Though fools shall not err therein. Just say amen. Even fools, people who are convinced of themselves that they know little or nothing, they will walk not astray on this way. They will not go astray. They just have to walk on this way. Just walking on it. And then we could also read wonderful scriptures that God has sent his prophet to prepare his way, and that he has prepared the way so that the glory of God might be manifested. Everything God led in a wonderful way. You can read it. Matthew 3, verse 3. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight the paths for our God. Let us summarize of what's all about. There are wonderful ways which God is leading his people. And in singular, it says, it is the way of salvation, the original way which God walks with his church. And there was only one who could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's only one whom we have before our eyes, who has redeemed us. We are following him, so that we also can say, not my, but thy will be done. And as we said before, the divine order has to be established in all of us, be it at home, be it here. And all this, also this, I hardly want to repeat it, but these ears have heard many things. Also the sentence, there you have to say so, showing, pointing to the house of God, but here I have to say so. No, God has to say so here and there, here and there. And if God has not to say so here and there, then something is not correct. And also this, perhaps it must be said once clearly, a woman who does not submit to the husband is really submitting to the enemy, that he becomes the head. A wife needs a head. And if she rejects the husband as the head, then the enemy will take the empty place, and from that moment on, everything will go wrong. So, may God give us grace. Perhaps I shouldn't say this all, because Brother Branham, he lined it out in his sermons. Why should I be cross with all the people? I don't have to do it at all. And nevertheless, not so, Brother Kupfer. Nevertheless, it has to be said. May God be with us in this year. Right from the beginning. And may the reverence, the fear before His word, may it all be in us, so that He really can manifest His presence in our midst, that we are joined with Him and with one another in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, in the love of God. And then in all of us will be fulfilled what is written in Hebrews. I read it to us now. From Hebrews, here it is chapter 3, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, today, if ye will hear His voice, not judging now, but we are asking, can His voice be heard in all the denominations? Who has to say so there? Who has to say so in all the charismatic meetings? Where is the plan of God? And where are the plans of men? God has a plan of salvation with His church. All the others, He lets them walk on their own ways. But to me and us, He does not permit our own way anymore. Have your own way, O Lord. And we are the ones, let us say it honestly and openly, we are the ones in this time who are hearkening and hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit, who got the word revealed by the Holy Spirit. The word as a letter, today all have. But only he who is part of the bride church has the word of the Holy Ghost. The word for this hour, the promises, and everything that goes with it, he got it revealed by the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the admonition in verse 8, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So, not hardening the heart. Not hardening the heart, not rebelling against it, but just receiving and accepting the word, and then God gives grace that we can live it out. You all know that it also speaks of, in verse 10, Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. And then the admonition addressed to us, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The admonition that what happened with Israel, that it doesn't repeat with us. We should take it seriously. I believe that all who got the word revealed by the Holy Spirit, that they are walking forward in faith and obedience, that unbelief and disobedience can do no harm to us anymore, but that we are joined with our hearts together with God. Remember the word grace, as we emphasized it at the beginning, in every epistle, at the beginning and at the end, grace. We found grace in the sight of God. God let us know His ways by His grace. And by faith of obedience, we may walk on His way. And the God who led us up to this moment, He will complete His work with all of us by His grace. And I am really convinced that all who got the word revealed by the Holy Spirit, that they are part of the bride church. And it becomes clear to us, regardless where we read, the Holy Spirit just gives clarity. The Holy Spirit leads into all the truth. May all our brothers who have part in the proclamation, in all peoples, tongues, and nations, may all be blessed. Really, from one end of the earth unto the other. And may no strange doctrine, may no strange spirit, nothing strange be anymore come into the called out church. May God dwell in our midst. May He speak with us. May He be at work. May His will be done by His grace. How many agree with it? That His will might be done. That really His will might be done by His grace. And I tell you, it will happen. It will happen. The Lord God will complete His work. And there will be a perfected bride church without spot and without wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb, sanctified in the Word of God, sealed with the Holy Spirit unto the day of the redemption of our bodies. Our God is doing a perfect work. He completed His creation work, and He brings His redemption work with all of us to completion in this time. We believe God, we trust God, and we know He will bring everything to pass by the power of His blood, of His word, and of His spirit. He will come to His right with His church, and He will complete it. It will be worthwhile to carry the divine message as the last call into all the world. It will be worthwhile to believe the Lord. It will be worth it to leave all our own ways, to leave our own thoughts, our own doctrines, to leave everything behind, leaving it behind, making a new beginning with God. Just imagine, we would come together and everyone would bring old doctrines and old convictions with him. What would that be? A totally hovu vahobu. God says, behold, I make all things new. I will make a new covenant, a new spirit. I reveal myself to you anew. This we experienced up till now in a wonderful way. And we will see it and experience it even more. He leads us until we come from believing unto seeing, until these mortal bodies are changed, until we are taken up to him into glory, to him, the Almighty God, who now is completing his plan of salvation, on which we have a direct part now. To him be the honor today and forever and throughout all eternity. And we can say in certainty, God has done great things for us. We can sing, you revealed yourself to me. We can say, you spoke to us. With us, everything has become true. To him, the ever-faithful God, be the honor. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us stand for prayer, and we ask our two sisters to sing an invitation song, and then we will again pray for all who have a prayer request, who wish to consecrate their lives to the Lord, that we just bring all the prayers before God, being convinced that he answered us already. Also there, our faith is anchored in the promises. Let us thank God for the grace, for the redemption, for the salvation. Today, we really want to thank God for everything. But please be careful that nobody gets too loud now, but that all are praying together. That also in prayer there is found a harmony, and that not somebody is too loud, because then it's disturbing. And if it happens, then the neighbor should pull the neighbor on his jacket and say, not so, because others are disturbed by it. Also by prayer, as at the preaching, there must be a harmony. If something disturbing is there, then it doesn't work anymore. The Holy Spirit is so gentle, everything must be done in holiness, in the harmony, in the presence of God. I'm sure that you understood it the right way. My own proverb says, whoever is right in his heart understands all things the right way. Just sing us a song, precious sisters.
Wenn wir wandeln im Herrn, Gottes Wort uns erstern, o wir spenden da Dunkel und Grauen, denn er lenkt jeden Schritt, seine Gnade geht mit, bei uns allen die Folgen und Trauen. Folgen und Trauen wird zum Siegen und Schauen. Willst du Frieden der See? sollst du folgen und trauen. Nicht ein Schatten entsteht, jede Wolke vergeht, wenn sein Lächeln die Seele erfreut. Weder Zweifel noch Schmerz können Ängsten das Herz, wenn wir trauen und gehorchen allzeit. Folgen und trauen wird zum Siegen und Schaum. Willst du Frieden der Seele, musst du folgen und trauen. Uns bedrückt keine Last, die nicht er auch erfasst. Auf ihn dürfen wir alle Zeit bauen. Er hat Segen bereit, auch im Kreuz und im Leid, wenn gehorsam wir folgen und trauen. Folgen und trauen wird zum Siegen und Schaum. Willst du Frieden der Seele, musst du folgen und trauen. Unser Leben und Sein gehört Jesus allein. Auf dem Brandaltar will er es schauen. Denn die Zucht, die er übt, und die Kraft, die er gibt, sind für die, die ihm folgen und trauen. Folgen und trauen wird zum Siegen und Schaum. Willst du Frieden der Seele, musst du folgen und trauen. Eins wird er offenbar seiner wartenden Schar, die den König in Schöne soll schauen. Einen Platz auf dem Thron, ja, das Reich und die Kron, gibt er denen, die folgen und trauen. Folgen und trauen wird zum Siegen und Schaum. Willst du Frieden der Seele, musst du folgen und trauen. Folgen und trauen wird zum Siegen und Schaum. Willst du Frieden der Seele, musst du folgen und trauen.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord gives grace to it. Just receive it. Just receive it. God has given it to us by His grace. We don't have to make any effort. It is His life in us. As we said many times, the life which was in the divine blood of the Son of God is in all of the blood-bought flock, the eternal life. And by it, we have received the right to become children of God, born again unto a living hope by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you have this hope in you? Say amen. I'm convinced of it. That we also, from this weekend, we're strengthened in our faith, going home, flying home, or driving home, whatever. And that God will have His way with all of us. Let us pray for one another. The bond, keeping the bond of the divine love, just following the Lord by faith, as we heard in this song, obeying and trusting, it will be our victory. Should there be brothers and sisters among us who need prayer, we are here to pray with you and for you. It just belongs to it. As we said last night, our Lord not only was teaching, he has forgiven the sins to the people, he healed the sick, he delivered the captives. In every meeting, the supernatural working of God happened. And to this we want to return by His grace. We have the promises, and we want to see and experience the fulfillment by His grace. How many were strengthened? How many got new courage? Because we know God completes His work. Let us bow our heads. And I would like to ask, who would like to be included into this prayer?
Mit einbezogen werden möchte. Gebet, Gebet.
Prayer.
Kann Wunder verrichten.
Prayer can work so miracles. If we believe, it happens. And God answers. Do we have some who would like to consecrate their life fully to the Lord? Just raise your hand also. Thank you. Do we have others who have diseases? Just raise your hand. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Has somebody trouble with some kind of bondages? Smoking, drinking, whatever it might be? We are bringing it to the Lord. He sets the captives free. That's how it is written. We have a full redemption by the blood of the Lamb. Don't be ashamed. This is the day which the Lord has made to help all of us, to bless all of us. Do we have other requests, other petitions, which were not mentioned here? Then we will also bring them before the Lord. Let us pray together. Great God, we have heard together your word. We have left our own ways, our own thoughts. We left. We stepped upon the way of salvation, and by obedience of faith, we may walk along this way. Beloved Lord, you have put up signposts. You have given us grace to pay attention to them. You told us, this is the way, walk on it. Look back where your fathers walked. Come back onto the same way. Beloved Lord, we thank you for it, that the end will be as the beginning was. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are here, that you are confirming your word, that you are healing the sick, that you are setting free the captives, that you are forgiving the sinners their sins. Beloved Lord, let a joy break forth, a cry of jubilee, let it break forth, because you have done great things in us. Blessed and praised be your wonderful name. We believe that you have confirmed your word. Dear Lord, raise your countenance above all of us. Give us your peace and your blessing. Bless in particular all the ministering brethren in all peoples, tongues, and nations. Complete your work and come soon, Lord Jesus. Beloved Lord, I claim here I claim every soul which has heard your word from my mouth
and
who heard it, who believes it, that they are all part of it when you are calling your own. Give faith, Lord. Give obedience and be with all of us. Give revelation on every step, revelation to every word. We thank you that the Ark of the Covenant was opened, that your word is revealed, and that you are speaking to us from heaven, revealing every word to us. Bless your church all over the earth. Be with all of us, Lord. Bless this new year which has started in a special way, as never before, as never before. Let great things happen. And if possible, let things happen which was never before. May it happen for the glory of your name. Also for this we have the promise. You are a great God, a faithful God. You have become our Father through Jesus Christ, our Lord. To you, the Almighty God, belongs all the glory, all the praise, and all the adoration, now and forever.
Hallelujah.
And all the people said,
Ich lieb ihn.
I love him, I love him.
Ich lieb ihn.
Let us sing.
In English.
All of us said Amen. Now I ask Brother Schmidt to say a few words, to give all of you greetings, and also to pray the closing prayer with us. What shall I say to all of this, what was said already? I just would like to say that these words, may they accompany us. As the Apostle Paul expressed it to the Hebrews, saying, in Hebrews chapter 1, you loved justice and you hated lawlessness. And therefore it says, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with oil. Verse 9. And then it says, thou, O Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. And they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. For this we are very grateful to our Lord. I, from my side, I would like to wish you God's blessing on all on your ways. As we heard We are standing at the beginning of a new year, which the Lord has given us. And we wish you, and we wish all of us, that the Lord might bring us to the point that we don't forget that His word remains forever. He spoke it out, and He will fulfill it. May the Lord bless all. Also, all those who were tuned in, we heard it, and we are repeating it. Everything depends on the blessing of God. No man, no human beings, the Lord God alone, may He bless us. May He accompany all of us until we come from believing unto seeing. And in particular, it really touched me what we heard last night, especially our young people. I say it in this way, these are our children and grandchildren. Them we want to carry in prayer. Please let us not forget, they are exposed to a time and they have to fight a battle which is not easy. But with the Lord, everything is possible because He has given us the victory. Also for you, dear children, dear young people, the Lord fought for you and you are already a victor. Let us thank now our God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words of grace which you addressed to us this morning. You spoke to us, and we can say, as the disciples then on the way to Emmaus, our hearts did burn. Give grace, Lord. Our King, our Redeemer, our Priest, Lord, you are representing us unto this day on the throne of grace. We thank you. Your blood speaks even today for us. Your blood is still here. Under the protection of your blood, we may have refuge. And you are watching over us. Lord Jesus, bless your people. Bless our going in and our going out. Bless our houses. Bless our families. Bless the families of our children. Please bless everywhere, in all tongues, peoples and nations. You know them all. You are seeing them all. You know them by name. We thank you that you called. Oh Lord, it was not us, but it was your grace that we could say yes to you. Lord, I thank you for it. Please abide with your blessing, abide with your grace, and accompany us. Lord Jesus, you know, give grace to our willing, give strength to our willing, so that you might be glorified and exalted. Amen.